It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by European Wax Center, Framingham. Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Women of Valen podcast, a podcast where we tell remarkable stories of next door women, local stories of inspiration waiting to be heard and passed on. I'm your host, Yamini, and it's been a slightly quiet year for us. Since we only get to meet through this podcast, I'll be quick in updating you about what all happened meantime. Our stories have reached a bigger audience. Almost 50 towns in Massachusetts listen to us. I brought our last episode on teen domestic violence to almost 60 radio stations through Peace Talks Radio. We also raised money for two non-profits through our podcast ad, Mass Energize and Loose Change. Paying forward has become a mantra for us here at Women of Valen podcast, but it's only possible because of all the support we get from you. So thank you so very much for staying in touch, sharing our stories and helping us grow. And also actually watching me dance on Instagram. Thank you so, so much. On September 15th, 2019, Valen rallied together to celebrate the birthday of a 5-year-old Ellie, who was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia. She's a fierce warrior, and she's doing great today. But this story is not about her. It's about another warrior who stood beside her, fighting alongside her daughter, Leah Levine. Our guest today is someone so inspirational, warm and loving. She's an educator, a fiercely loving and working mom. When I asked her for an interview, she thought this episode will be about Ellie, who was then at the time of recording still fighting cancer. But in my mind, everyone knew this amazing kid. Perhaps what people wanted to know more about is this other warrior who has been fighting alongside Ellie. One of my foundational beliefs is that life prepares you strangely for what's to come. I used to not understand why I did certain things the way I did, or loved a totally random activity that no one else was interested in. I would realize much later that everything I did eventually connected like a web and made sense. When you listen to this story, you will too find that everything will make sense eventually. Growing up, finding love, home, giving back to community, and battling with cancer. When everything is good, no one bothers to think twice about what's happening. It's when something bad happens, that's when we realize what life was preparing us for. This story chronicles such events in our protagonist, Leah's life. So I hope you enjoy it unfolding as I have enjoyed telling it. Leah's story is fascinating.
I grew up in the same house in West Newton. My parents are both psychologists, and that's always an interesting tale that they. My father was my mother's professor at Harvard when she was getting her doctorate. But when I say that, many people groan, oh gosh, two psychologists. But it was a really great thing, and I felt that they exposed me to a great community in Massachusetts. There are a lot of They were into mindfulness and meditation and community building. And so I felt that we were connected in that way growing up. Really grateful for that.
Daughter of two psychologists, she was exposed to a wide variety of literature and wellness early. They encouraged her to explore the world and even take a year off after graduate school.
Interestingly enough, I didn't. I considered some things, but then I was like, I think I'm just ready to go. So I went to Cornell University. And I studied English. It took me a while to, I was between psychology and English, but I landed on English after graduation, I moved back home and I actually did city year Boston.
She didn't take the gap year, but her urge to explore remained. After graduating from Cornell University and a brief stint in Boston, Leah realized she needed to be in education. She reactivated her application to Teach for America and she was off to California, where she taught first and second graders. Teaching classes where majority of her students were Spanish speakers sparked more adventure in her. She felt the urge to immerse herself in a new culture. She applied to teach all over South America and was accepted at a school in
Antofagasta, Chile. And honest to God, I said, where? I had to like go look again. Where is that again? And it's in the north above Santiago. It's on the edge of the driest desert in the world. And really, without too much thought, yes, I'm going. That was a phenomenal, life-changing experience, really, to live in another country and just absorb that culture. And Chile is really unique in that it is long and thin enough to border many countries. So I got to have, Antofagasta as the jumping off point to really explore much of South America. And so when you're flying down to Chile, you have to stop in Santiago, even though you have to like go past the Antofagasta airport, and you have to get another connecting plane because, you know, international just goes to Santiago. So here I was with all my bags and flying, you know, getting into the Antofagasta flight, very tired. It's a long flight. And so kind of nodding off, and the descent starts. So I'm trying to wake up and look out the window, and I look out the window and all I see is just not really like the sand dunes of the Sahara, but you see a desert sand rolling, ocean crashing against rocks, and no buildings. What? Where am I? And then I got off the plane and it's like wind blowing. It's very warm. And I realized that I didn't really know how I would get in touch with someone if they weren't there. Like I was like, okay, I have the paper in my backpack. Like, how do I even use a phone? Because they were late picking me up and I'm standing on the curb. And then they rolled in full of the other teachers who were already there. So they were all packed in. That experience of exploring different cultures and meeting different people. Like I had one friend who we went on a 3-week backpacking excursion, the one where we went down and we went up. She showed up with one tennis shoe. Like she just like, she's, you know, so different from me. I'm there with everything. And she's just like, oh no, I forgot one of my shoes. And you know, she rolled with it. She made it work, you know? And so it's like a mindset, right? When I got home from Chile, my parents had always been meditators, but I started exploring that. And it's connected to my health. You know, it has a big mental connection. Your mind and your gut are very connected. Absolutely. And so I started exploring mindfulness more in depth. Mm-hmm. That led me to Kripalu, which is a retreat center. And that's where I met Doug.
They say behind every successful man, there is a woman. But a different statement perhaps holds for these modern times. Behind most strong women, there is a man. How Leah met her husband and life partner is quite a story.
A mindfulness meditation workshop. It was a yoga meditation silent workshop. Okay. And so you weren't supposed to speak. And the joke is that Doug, of course, was like breaking all the rules. And I was like, I'm not going to talk to anybody. And then on the last night, it was July 4th, actually. And it's right next to Tanglewood. Mm-hmm. And James Taylor and Carole King were playing. And you could kind of hear the music. And it was silence optional. So I was like released from the rule. And then Doug and I started talking. And we really connected right off the bat. And he grew up in Weston. He was living in D.C. at the time, but he grew up in Weston. I was living in Arlington, Mass. At the time. And so he was like, oh, I'm going to come back and visit my parents. His parents were like, you are? You know, but he's like, I'll take you on a date. And so he did. And we had our
first date at the Newport Folk Festival. So it was a day-long date, and it was great. Yeah, and there's so many cool things that happened. Like, he got his tarot, you know, Kropalo had like a tarot card reader, and he got his cards read, and she was like, wow, I've never seen this happen before. He pulled every love card in the deck.
At Women of Whalen Podcast, we bring you local stories. Our mantra is to stay local. That's why we partner with local entrepreneurs and businesses to raise money for organizations who are in need. For this episode, we are partnering with European Wax Center, located in Framingham, which is also owned by Women of Whalen, Michelle Doan. European Wax Center provides their guests with a first-class waxing experience. They also offer body care, skin care, and brow product collections, which are cruelty-free and dermatologist-tested. To book an appointment or get more details, go to reservations.waxcenter.com and type in Framingham in the location box. You can also find more information on our social media channels.
We've got a glimpse of the fun part of Leah's life. It's time to take a look into the time when her life took a somber turn. Little did she know that all the experiences she had accumulated, all the community work she did, all her life skills would be put to a test.
Allie had been getting more bruises on her legs, but she's very active. So, you know, chalk it up to, she's just running around more. And she had some small little dots, like red blood marks, teeny little ones on her stomach, but she had vomited a couple days before, and sometimes that happens to me, at least, when, you know, like they're called petechiae, where little blood vessels burst. So that was like not that alarming. And then she was like limping one day, and I said, okay, well, it's a good thing we have your five-year-old checkup, you know. On this was on a Monday, it was on Wednesday that we took her in. And so went in and told the doctor all the things, and separately he was not concerned. He was like, you know, that's typical, blah blah blah. But then when he saw them all combined, he said, well, let me run a blood test just to be safe, check it out. And so it took a while, and he came back, he's like, well, this, my equipment's not the highest quality, and but we're getting a concerning result, and I want to send you to Newton Wellesley to confirm it. Okay. Ellie's like in her bathing suit, ready for, at school they had swim class. She's like, okay, can I go swimming now? I'm like, well, now we got to go to Newton Wellesley. And so we went there, waiting. And I said, it was taking a long time. And I called the doctor, do you think we should go home and wait? He's like, well, you're already halfway to Children's, so maybe you should stay. And that's, so I was like, oh, it's going there. Like, we may be accelerating this. And sure enough, the results came back. She had a high platelet count, which is indicative of an infection, and also, which is what the ER doctor at the Children's Hospital told me. She says, well, these results could be anything from a virus to cancer. And there I am in the room with Ellie sitting there, like, by myself. Doug wasn't there, and I was like, okay, well, it's obviously going to be a virus, right? And Doug got there as fast as he could, and had this whole team come down and take us into this back room and tell us that it was leukemia. I'll never forget that doctor. She was amazing. I mean, to think that she has to break that news to parents probably daily. She was phenomenal, but it was the hardest news to take. And we were blown away. Yeah. So, Ellie has acute lymphoblastic leukemia, B-cell. It's actually the most common type of leukemia. And it grows in your bone marrow. So, common early signs are bruising and like discomfort in your bones, aching, and kind of paleness. And so, I didn't know any of this. And Ellie, and she was admitted that day for a month, took her right in. And so that started a 2-year treatment course that we're still undergoing. So after the first month in the hospital, she went into remission, so no cancer cells detectable. However, they know that there's these hidden cells and they tend to regenerate, and so that's why the treatment then still goes on for 2 years. So she had all the heavy-hitting chemo drugs in the hospital for the first month, went into remission, and then there's three real phases: induction, where you have the first month, and there's called consolidation, where you are still undergoing some heavy chemo, but you're outpatient, and then maintenance, where you get weekly chemo, but at a lower dose, and that's for like a year and a half.
Telling a child that she has cancer, that she will be in hospital for months, and getting drugs that affect her is all so much for parents who are already in distress. How does one even do that?
It was very factual and matter of fact, like your body's sick. It's not making enough of the, I think we even said, so, you know, we really tried to explain it to her. They have people there that help you think about it too. And talking about how, what kind of, we're going to be here for a month to make sure that we get everything you need. Mommy and Dad, you know, very reassuring. We'll be here the whole time. And you're going to feel better after, because, you know, this actually, luckily, this type of cancer has a very good success rate. So we felt pretty confident about that. They do a great job there. The other type of leukemia that was being treated there, they actually stay 6 months. So there were people there who were, you know, living there for quite some time. And they have a whole resource room that has tons of activities. And then they put on events and they have little parties. And then they have weekly special meal night where they come deliver, you know, pizza or whatever. And so they really work hard to try to make it comfortable and exciting for the kids. I mean, I cannot say enough good things about Boston Children's. They have a
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business?
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Phenomenal team. And so we had, you know, there's a social worker checking in. They had people helping us with insurance. They had just a whole support team that I just found very helpful.
Even with the best doctors and best facilities in the world, the road to recovery from cancer is not straightforward for anyone, let alone for a five-year-old.
Ellie was feeling terrible at some times, and then she developed this infection called C. diff, which is very contagious. So then she was like quarantined. I mean, this was before quarantine was top of our vocabulary list. She was quarantined in her room for several weeks, and she couldn't even leave her room. And so that was tough, and she had some pretty down times, just not feeling well. Although she did have a complication, which was actually the scariest part, because while she was in the hospital for a month and it was really tough and she was in pain, it was like never felt, I guess, life-threatening is the word I would say. But then she developed pancreatitis as a result of a side effect of one of the chemo drugs. And that there's really no treatment for that. It's extreme pain in her pancreas. And it elevated her heart rate, and it was just, she got a fever and infection. And so, and they don't have anything really to treat except for pain control and water. So like to flush it out of the system. So they put her, I mean, she was in the ICU. It was really tough. And they had so much IV fluid going into her that she gained 20 pounds in water weight. And she was only 40 pounds, right? So now there's this 60 pounds. She just blew up. She was just distended. And that was the scariest part, because she was seeing her in the ICU hooked up to all the machines, not really responsive. That was really tough. But she made it out and then got back on her feet. That is one thing about Ellie, and a lot of most kids that I know are so resilient. I mean, you can not keep her down.
We've all had our share of experiences with healthcare in our country. A few simple tests, a trip to the ER, or even to a pharmacy has left many of us astounded. I was personally curious to know what the treatment costs for a deadly and persistent sickness like cancer.
Well, Ellie's treatment, all told, will probably end up costing $2 million. And, I mean, that's a typical cost. And she did have that complication with the pancreatitis, so it's probably more than that. And we were fortunate to have insurance, and we also had to purchase a second insurance to cover all the multiple costs that aren't covered by the first insurance. So MassHealth has options to help people in that instance. And luckily, as I said, the hospital helped connect us with that. And so we are fortunate to have insurance help, but you know, there's still associated costs. And I just hate to think of people who may be in this situation and cannot access insurance. It's also just so complicated in terms of I'm getting monthly infusions that are billed by the insurance company as $29,000. So if you had or billed to the insurance. So if you didn't have insurance, you would have to pay $29,000 a time, and I get it once a month. I mean, think about this. But the insurance company then negotiates, right? So they say, okay, we're not going to pay $29,000. We'll pay you X. I think they say $15,000 or so. And then they turn around and say, okay, but you, Leah Levine, are responsible for $2,000 a time. And so then I have to submit, you know, make sure I have all the things into my insurance, see if my, will my insurance cover that $2,000 or not. And what do I need? And I called like three times. They tell, you know, different messages, and finally you get to the right person and you understand what you need. Just the time that goes into it and the energy. That's the other thing, is just like, think about people who don't have that time to be putting into, or the energy, or I don't know. I just think that it's terrible. But I count myself lucky in some ways too, that I have these supports, that the community support and insurance, you know, ability to do these things, that I'm just blown away with, that not everybody has access to, which is unfortunate. I will say, right from the get-go, people were, I mean, they blew us away with their support, their offers to help, their love, everything. I mean, it was just phenomenal. And I guess that's one benefit from having connected to different communities, you know, with my travels, and Doug with his many schoolings. So we had many communities of friends that we were connecting with. And so they all came together, and just phenomenal. And one of Ellie's diagnosis was just a couple days before her planned fifth birthday party that she was sharing with her sister. And actually, I forgot that part. One of my first reactions when they told us that she had cancer and she had to go be admitted, I said, well, what about her birthday party? That was like my first thought, which was sort of silly, but the things your mind goes to. So, I mean, she was sad, and we attempted to have one at the hospital, but then she kept not feeling very well. And then we had a little something with like a couple friends. But this, some people in the community got wind of it, and they said, well, how about, could we do something special for Ellie's birthday? And Doug and I said, of course, yeah, she would love that. Like, take her out to the movies or a trampoline park or some little ice cream she would love.
But then, imagine this never before seen gathering at the Wayland Middle School soccer fields. Nope. No soccer matches here today. Instead, a variety of kids' games, bouncing houses, Disney princesses, stalls, food truck, ice cream truck, a full-blown carnival. This was how Waylon threw Ellie her fifth birthday party.
But the next thing we know, they're like, okay, we're planning a townwide carnival. And it was, what? It was amazing. I cannot even tell you how amazing it was. And then the day of, all those people, so many events, and the dunk tank, and the petting zoo, the princesses. It was phenomenal. I was like, Ellie, I'm sorry, but your next birthdays will not be looking like this. She's like, where's my carnival?
An event that was appropriately covered by all major Boston broadcasters. It seemed like all of Massachusetts got to know about Ellie and her fight.
I don't even know the word for it, but how phenomenal this community is and how they rose to the occasion to support us. That's an aspect that Doug and I hold really close and dear to who we are, is always to be in community and connected to the community and give back to the community in the ways that we can. And then we were just blown away with how much the community then gave back to us. And I cannot even begin to say how grateful and thankful we are for the outpouring of love and support and connection. And we couldn't have done it without this community of Wayland.
In the thick and thin of these struggles, it is easy to forget the toll it is taking on your body. Well, until it manifests itself physically in some form. For Leah, this meant the reemergence of her ulcerative colitis.
Over the summer, as a result of the pancreatitis that Ellie had, she developed a cyst, which was pretty asymptomatic for about a year, and then it started causing her pain right around March when everything went crazy this past March. In any case, it just continued to be more and more painful over the summer to the point where we were giving her morphine pretty much around the clock, and then we had to schedule her to get the cyst drained, so an operation. So all this was going on. I ulcerative colitis. I've had it for about 10 years, and it had been in remission. I was hadn't really had, called flares. I hadn't had a bad flare in a year or more, but it started acting up. And so it's an autoimmune disorder in your colon, which basically your body doesn't recognize. It thinks your colon is a foreign substance, so it starts like attacking there, and then you have problems and discomfort. And so that started creeping in, but I kind of put it on the back burner because of Ellie's pain. And then it was getting worse and worse, but still I was sort of putting it off. And then Ellie got her operation, and the next day, boom, she's out there playing soccer. She's like nothing. She just bounced right back. She was like, get me on the field. But I, on the other hand, just then I collapsed, and I was hospitalized 2 days after her surgery. And so then that started this journey that I'm still on, which I was in and out of the hospital 3 times in the fall, because every time I went home, the medication just, I don't know, my body wasn't absorbing it, because switched from IV meds to oral, and so the absorption is a little bit different. And so I would go back, and we've been trying all different things. So I'm on the rise, but still, we're still managing. We're still trying to figure out what the right medication is.
What is commendable about Leah and Levine's is that throughout the treatment, they kept their humor intact. On their Facebook, they wrote, "The sweetest word for their family is discharged." And when you have listened to their story, you know it's true. Okay, now, did you know that Ellie is a foodie, just like me? Here is Leah recalling her love for food and her calling out on an incorrect recipe.
One of her, well, it's changed. Her tastes have changed a little bit, but one of her favorite things, she called it the fish taco, even though it's like more of a fish burrito. And that was what one of her main requests was when she was in the hospital. And so we had to have it specially made, and Doug's friend made it one time you know, under strict instructions, but I think he got like a different rice, and she immediately knew. She's like, this is the wrong rice.
She is so full of life, isn't she? And she inspired me so much. Like mother, like daughter. Talking to Leah made me realize there is so much more joy in being present. All that mindfulness that she learned growing up led her to find her love, led her to deal with these battles, and led her to be this community person that she is. There are these few lines that she said in the end that stayed with me. I hope it stays with you too.
You really got to live in the moment. You've got to seize the moment because it's the only one you have right now. And that's what really the premise of mindfulness is to be in the present. And not to deny or not think about the past or the future, but to say, there it is. That's what it is. And now I'm here. This is it right now. And what, you know, let me show up in the now. And I will tell you that Ellie was one of my best teachers for that. She said, you know, I had to do a lot of yucky things, but I'm better now. And she's moved on, you know. And if you ask her if she's cancer, nope, I don't have it. All done with that, she says. And she's still. And, you know, kids really do live in the moment a lot, and they're so resilient. So I think resilience, presence, and community. I mean, we wouldn't be able to be here without the community that lifted us up and supported us.
It got me thinking about so many families who are currently going through this experience. One of them is also my friend. And most times in silence. While everyone has a ton on their plates, offering words of support, food deliveries, raising funds, or even spreading awareness about such diseases can mean the world to the families whose lives have been overturned because of this. Also, a big shout out to all the parents who are standing behind their little warriors. Your fight and courage matters. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget to book an appointment with our partner, European Wax Center, Framingham. You can find the details in our description and on our social media channels. Wishing you all a wonderful season of joy. Don't forget to subscribe. We are not done yet. We will be back with another episode. I am Yamini, your host, and you are listening to Women of Wayland, the podcast.
Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.